hey, we got a new look at Locked On MLB, but some familiar teams are moving up the standings. This is Locked On MLB.
You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to the newly renovated here, if you're watching on YouTube, Locked On MLB. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I am your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Look at my brand new lower third right there. You can call me Sully. I'm an Emmy-nominated television producer who has been a baseball podcaster for the last 10, 11, 12 years. I don't know. I've lost track. And I've been now a member of the Locked On Podcast Network for the last 5 years. And I can assure you, it is your team every day. You can follow us at Locked On MLB Pods on Twitter or on Instagram. You can follow me. I am your pal, Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. And look up there. We got a brand new thing here. Where is it? Right there. Where you have a little bit of a rundown of some of the stuff we're going to be talking about on today's show, which will include how Aaron Judge does it again, how baby Dodgers are leading the way. And Brandon Warren from Locked On Twins stops by to talk about how a mediocre American League Central is giving hope to some teams that are sub 500. First and foremost, though, we have someone who answered the trivia question correctly. The trivia question, and let's remove my lower third here and go back to the banners. The question was, here it is. How many World Series MVPs are currently on the same team they won the award for? And Kyle King got it right. Three World Series MVPs are still playing for the team that they won the award for. Jeremy Peña won the World Series MVP last year. He shouldn't have. Framber Valdez should have won the World Series MVP, but I digress. Valdez is also on the team as well. I'm not taking away Jeremy Peña's fine World Series, but I thought Framber Valdez should have won. That's neither here nor there. Jeremy Peña did, and he is still a member of the Houston Astros. Then you have to go back to 2019. Steven Strasburg. He's injured, but he's still part of the Washington Nationals, and he was the World Series MVP in 2019 for the Nats. And then 2015, it was Salvador Perez was the MVP for the Kansas City Royals. Now, between then, 2016, Ben Zobrist, I think he's retired now, Ben Zobrist with the Cubs. 2017, that World Series must not be mentioned. It was George Springer. 2018, another World Series with a lot of shenanigans going on. Sorry, Red Sox fans, but it's true. Steve Pierce, remember him? He won the World Series that year. Probably could have gone to David Price as well, but Pierce had a great series. Strasburg is there. 2020, Corey Seager was the World Series MVP for the Dodgers, but he's now with Texas. In 2021, Jorge Soler was the World Series MVP for Atlanta, but he is hitting home runs at will for Miami. So, yeah, the World Series MVPs are on the move. Not a lot of them, only three are still with their team, and one of them's on the injured list. The other is a legacy player, Salvador Perez, will probably have his number retired in Kansas City. We're going to see what happens with Jeremy Peña. But, hey, someone who certainly wants to be a World Series MVP is Aaron Judge. And holy cow. Look at the Yankees had a really, really important win. And again, it's May, so how important can they be? Well, psychologically, it was an important game for the Yankees because the Baltimore Orioles were coming to town. And lest we forget, the Orioles are starting to knock on the door of the Tampa Bay Rays. And with the Blue Jays just blew the doors off the dump in Tropicana Field. And so the Orioles had a chance with a victory against New York they had a chance to pull within two games of first place with all that was going on. And the Yankees fell behind early with the the Orioles jumped all over Gerrit Cole, who let up way too many home runs, and it looked like the Yankees were going to be behind the eight ball. And in a divisional rivalry game like this, if you drop game one, especially one where your ace is going, well, psychologically, that kind of puts you on your heels. That means you kind of have to win out the rest of the series. And lest we forget, the Orioles bullpen is absolutely lights out. And they got to the point where Bautista was up there on the mound with a one-run lead, 5-4. And Bautista has been just unstoppable. Gets the first out. Up comes Judge. And with two strikes, Judge just unloads. Unloads. There's no evidence that ball came down. That was upper deck at Citi Field. And they were playing the game at Yankee Stadium. And I know Yankee Stadium doesn't face Citi Field, but it went all the way around the world and back into Flushing. And it was one of those, the nanosecond it left the bat, you knew it was gone. Tie game against one of the best relievers in the game. Then we have the stupid, you know, ghost runner on second rule. Yankees wiggled out of some trouble in the top. Then Volpe gets the sacrifice fly to win it. But it's Judge. Judge did it again. And remind everyone, Judge missed about, 10 games between the end of April and about, he came back on May 9th. And that's when they wound up losing those games to Tampa Bay. Now, when he came, you know, the Yankees, without him, had fallen. And they were 19-17. When he came back in the series against the Oakland A's. We're approaching mid-May, and the Yankees could be tumbling towards a 500 record. Now, they want to play in the A's. The A's are a minor league team, and we know that. And Judge wound up getting, you know, a bunch of hits, especially in that final game where he went 3-for-4 with a double, and he got on base four times, and the Yankees clobbered the A's. They wound up splitting the series against Tampa, but he wound up having the two home run game in that wild game, the 9-8 victory against the Rays. Since then, the Yankees are, let's go, they are, let's see, 4-1, 4-2, 6-2, 6-3, 7-3, 8-3, 9. They've won 10 out of the 13 games that Judge has been back. They've played 13 games against good teams, mind you, against teams like Tampa, against teams like Toronto, against teams like Baltimore. Yeah, they played Cincy. Yeah, they played Oakland. But for the most part, they've been playing good, solid ball clubs. And it's right now, it's the 24th day of May, and Judge already has 14 homers. And the team has turned it around. They were flummoxed. When you took Judge out of that lineup, you looked at that lineup, I was comparing him to a split squad spring training game. And with Judge, they're a major league team. So look at whatever the Yankees paid him, it was worth every penny. And it's funny, when he hit that home run and, you know, it sailed into the left field stands, and Judge just, you know, he was smiling and laughing as he hit that clutch home run. The place was going crazy. I'm clearly not a Yankee fan, native New Englander, but I had to even start giggling and say, man, this guy's just incredible. At some point, you just have to marvel at him. And whatever the Yankees paid him, it was worth every penny. And I'm sure San Francisco fans are going, yeah, that would look pretty good. That would look pretty good in San Francisco right around now. I'm going to talk about the Giants in a later episode. Not tonight, but a little later episode, because the Giants are starting to turn some things around. But you take a look at that piece. Look at, do I think the Yankees, are they going to pass the Rays? Maybe. Maybe they will. I don't know. I don't know. But winning games like this, games where the ace didn't have his best shot, the games where they had the best 1-2 punch out of the bullpen where they had to stare him down, and winning those kind of games are the exact type of games that a championship team needs to win. The games where it's like, we had no business winning this game, and they got it. And they got it in a big way because of the big man. He just keeps doing it. 13 games back. You know what? It's money well spent. And by the way, if you have money that you need to spend and you want to keep track of your money a little bit better, the only thing I have to say to you is Rocket Money. Now, Rocket Money is the surefire app, especially if you have lost track of your subscriptions. If you've done that, we're like, oh, if you subscribe to that, first 30 days are free, the 31st day, they start charging you. I bet you've got a bunch of those on your in your accounts that are taking money out of your bank. And Rocket Money is the absolute best tool to cut down on those expenses that you forgot you're even having. Rocket Money can cancel the subscriptions that you don't want. Do you know how much your subscriptions really cost? Most Americans think they're spending about $80 a month, and it's closer to $200 or $300. If you don't know how much you're spending exactly, you're going to need Rocket Money. Rising prices stressing you out? You're looking for ways to cut costs? You need Rocket Money. It's a personal finance app that helps you cancel unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills. Rocket Money will quickly and easily find your subscriptions for you. And anyone you don't want to pay for anymore, just hit cancel. Rocket Money will cancel it for you. It's that easy. Over 80% of people have subscriptions they forgot about. Let Rocket Money take over. Over 3 million people have used Rocket Money, saving the average person up to $720 a year. Stop throwing money away, cancel unwanted subscriptions, and manage your expenses the easy way. Go to rocketmoney.com/lockedonMLB. That's rocketmoney.com/lockedonMLB. rocketmoney.com/lockedonMLB. Let's turn back the clocks, shall we? All the way back to Friday, April 21st. Julio Urias and the Dodgers got absolutely blown out by the Chicago Cubs. They lost 13-0. It was a big old pile of humiliation. And with that, the Dodgers fell to 10-11. They had played the first 21 games, and forget a winning record, they're one game below. Now, that, you know, was obviously way too early in the season to count on anything, but you know what? That's stumbling out of the gate. And if I had told you at that moment that you would see Julio Urias go on the disabled list for a period of time, young Michael Grove go on the disabled list, Dustin May, who was off to a terrific start, go on the disabled list and maybe, just maybe, not come back until after the All-Star break, and who knows what's going on. And Noah Syndergaard would go on and post a near 6 ERA in his first 9 starts. You might think that the Dodgers were in absolute dire straits. Well, you would be wrong, because what has happened since that glorious moment when they lost 13-0 in Chicago that day? They have been, what's the word I'm looking for? Really, really good. How good? They have played 29 games and have won 21 of them. And not against bad teams either. Tonight, they were up against the Atlanta Braves. They were up against Strider, a Cy Young candidate from last year. And up stepped Bobby Miller. Bobby Miller made his big league debut against the big bad Braves and threw five super strong innings, allowing the Dodgers to have a solid start, even when Clayton Kershaw, who's not injured, but is on the bereavement list. This is coming just a few days after Gavin Stone pitched. Now, he didn't pitch particularly well, but you're seeing some young players being injected into this Dodgers system. You don't believe me that some of these young players are making an impact? James Outman only played a handful of games in the major leagues before this year, has played every single game. He has 9 home runs, driven in a bunch of runs, and has a decent OPS and filling in that center field position. And Miguel Rojas has been, well, he's been good, but not great, but he's filled in the double Miguel's. The double Miguel's up the middle. You know, Miguel Vargas has, you know, gotten some hits down the stretch and has been filling in at second base nicely. Thank you very much. Max Muncy seems to hit home runs at will. His batting average is microscopic, but who cares? His OPS is sky high. And oh yeah, Freddie Freeman kind of sort of loved coming back to Atlanta and getting big, huge hits. Mookie Betts is suddenly playing all over the map. Sure, he's the right fielder of record, but he'll play at second base. He'll play at shortstop. And Julio David Martinez, JD Martinez, has come back to life. And since then, they've been unstoppable and playing pretty dang good teams along the way. Remember how the San Diego Padres were supposed to be the team that was going to unseat the Dodgers? That's what I predicted. I thought they were putting together a super team. They came into LA and I witnessed the sweep myself. Now the Dodgers have gone on. Now they had a rough series against St. Louis, but they beat Minnesota, which is, they won a series against Minnesota. We'll talk about in the last segment, who is a first place team. San Diego, they blew the doors off the dump twice. And then they beat Milwaukee. They swept the defending nationally champion Philadelphia Phillies. They had swept the Cardinals earlier. They've been winning big games against solid teams. Now, they're in the middle of a gauntlet right now. They've got a bunch of games against the Atlanta Braves and a bunch of games against the Tampa Bay Rays. But I had criticized the Dodgers in the offseason because they didn't go after some of the big names. As it turned out, they dipped into their farm. They've already have big names. I'm guilty of taking for granted the fact that they already had the Mookie Betts and the Freddie Freemans of the world. The former MVPs are still floating around on that team. And now, here we go. There's the Arizona Diamondbacks are still playing the Dodgers well and closely. But the fact of the matter is, the big bad Dodgers, with all those 100 win seasons of the last bunch of years and trips to the NLCS and World Series, have found their footing. Betts and Freeman are the leaders of this team, and the young players are contributing. And if they can look up and continue to get the solid year that they're getting from Kershaw once he comes back from the bereavement list, if Miller turns into a good pitcher, if Gavin Stone can get his act together and Tony Gonsolin can continue pitching like the stud he's been pitching as of late, they can allow Urias and May to rehab correctly and be ready for the World Series when it comes around. The Dodgers are playing like a team where they know they need another World Series title to cement their legacy for all those division titles and trips to the postseason. And like any good team, it's going to be a combination of stable veterans and young players to spark the team. And if you saw what they're doing against teams like the Padres and the Braves, teams that had images of division titles and pennants dancing in their head. The Dodgers are showing, you know what? The baby Dodgers may be leading the way, and it might be a little more of the same in that this looks like a 100-win team again. They've come a long way since late April. Hey, look it, it's Brandon Ward of Locked On Twins just stopped by. What could you tell me, buddy?
Well, you want me to tell you about bird dogs?
Why do you think you're here? Yeah, what do you think you're here for?
Yeah, so it's a cool new place that we've started partnering with, and it's pants and shorts, and I got my first two pairs, and they're excessively comfortable. But here's the deal. Mine didn't quite fit the way I wanted to, and their customer service could not have been better. So the product already is great, but the people you deal with also great. They look good. They feel good. And you can wear them no matter what. I wear them to church. I wear them to the gym. I wear them just kicking around with my friends if I'm going out to eat. I'm a shorts guy. I wear shorts all year round. And if you don't know, I'm in Minnesota. So it's like I live in an igloo. You can't really see it here on my video. But I absolutely love it. And so if you want that level of comfort, go to birddogs.com/LockedOnMLB. And when you enter the promo code LockedOnMLB, all one word, they'll throw in a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti style tumbler with every order. That I use that tumbler and it's amazing. Virtually indistinguishable from a Yeti. And so I highly recommend put that code in, get a tumbler and get a pair of very comfortable shorts or pants.
So, hey, look at this. We bring ourselves in not only to sell some Bird Dogs.
Yeah.
But also to talk about the Minnesota Twins. What hat are you wearing right now?
Oh, do I have to tell you?
Oh, do I have to? But I don't want to know which one. Oh, you were in the Marlins hat because you're a confused man.
Oh, I played softball tonight and I showered, and so I don't have my hair all done up like you like to see, so I'm faking it.
No, I'm wearing my my podcaster toupee tonight.
Looks nice.
Hey, look at we talked about the in the first two segments of the show about the mighty Yankees and the mighty Dodgers dusting off their 500 start. Well, the Minnesota Twins right now are just one game above 500. It was a team that had sky-high expectations. I picked them to win the division. I know a lot of people picked Cleveland. I picked Minnesota. Correa has been a disappointment. The offense is sputtering. The team's on on a three-game losing streak right now. Everything's terrible in Minnesota right now, except for one thing. They're in first place by themselves. And they have a 2.5 game lead over Detroit. And presumptive front runner in many people's eyes, Cleveland can't get out of their own way. What the heck is happening in Minnesota? And are they the luckiest division leaders in baseball right now?
I think they have to be. And it's basically a snowball effect. They score three runs and the starting pitching is great. And that's actually what happened on Tuesday night here. They score three runs. The starting pitching is great. The bullpen lets them back into the game. And you have slight hiccups by even great relievers like Jorge Lopez, Joan Duran. They have some good back-end relievers. Even Griffin Jacks is very good, but his ERA has swelled over 5 with a tough stretch here. They've had specific instances where umpiring has really bit them, but you can't really point to one thing specifically. If you were to do that, to me, the offense has just not carried its weight. It's been very, very inconsistent. But again, at the end of the day, I don't think anybody else in this division is any good. The Twins might not even be any good. But I think at the end of the day, they're going to be standing atop whatever this looks like in 162 games.
Byron Buxton had a good game on Tuesday night against San Francisco. But everyone else was out to lunch, it looks like. Buxton homered, I guess Taylor homered as well. So, I mean, that's a positive thing. Sonny Gray, who's been excellent this year, who's been, they have the starting pitching to do this. This is a situation where the Arise trade brought in Lopez. They needed Lopez. They also could really use Arise right now. It's a situation where both teams got what they needed when they made the swap in the offseason. It's just, Minnesota does need that spark in the lineup. And, you just wonder how much taking that Jenga piece out of this lineup affected everything else by taking Arise's bat out. Do you think they're suffering from the effect of that, or is this just sort of a collective slump?
I mean, it can be part of it. The top three hitters in their lineup collectively coming into today were hitting .222, which is worse than MLB. So you would have big expectations from the third of the lineup that would have Carlos Correa, who was out tonight Tuesday, and has been dealing with a heel now. The opposite heel of the one that caused him to have his two deals before the Twins fall through. Byron Buxton has run hot and cold, and for all of his solid offensive production this year, he's still only hitting 238, hit cleanup on Tuesday, so he doesn't count for that top third. But the top third, again, 222, bottom third of or bottom of the of MLB, and it just kind of trickles down from there. They've got individual guys doing okay, but the sequencing is just horrible. That, you know, Kyle Farmer comes back, has a solid stretch. They need him a little bigger. When Correa's out, he goes 0-for-3 with a couple of punch-outs. It's bad baseball right now. I still think this is a solid team, but they are just skittering right now. They're skidding. And the rest of the division is not doing all that much to take advantage of it, especially to the Guardians and White Sox, who right now are beating up on each other.
It's interesting. If you take a look at the Central right now, Minnesota has a 2.5 game lead, one game in the loss column ahead of Detroit. Now, I have a rule that I don't really start to study the standings until after Memorial Day because everyone is still kind of posturing.
That's pretty soon, though.
Yeah, I was about to say that's less than a week away right now.
Yeah.
And you take a look at the run differentials of the other four teams in the Central. As of this recording, Detroit has a negative 51 run differential. Cleveland has a negative 33 run differential. The Chicago White Sox have a negative 55 run differential. Kansas City has a negative 71 run differential. And Minnesota has a positive 39.
90 runs clear of the Tigers. 90.
That's right. 90 runs. I mean, that's what stunned me, because one game in the loss column separates Minnesota and Detroit, and close to 100 runs separate the two. Which, look at, I don't think of run differential as the end all be all. I think sometimes it can be misleading. I mean, the fact that the you know, Miami is one game under 500 and they have a negative 57 run differential, because when it's a close game, they win. And when it's a blowout, they wave the white flag. But the thing that gives me hope, if you're a Minnesota fan, is the teams that have a better, obviously Tampa, and, you know, Tampa has a better run differential.
Theirs took a hit though. They lost 20-1.
I know. Actually, Texas surpassed Tampa in the run differential department with today's victory against the Pittsburgh Pirates, based upon the whooping that the Toronto Argonauts gave to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yeah. But so Texas and Tampa have the best run differentials in the American League, but the only ones who have a better run differential than them in the American League are Texas, Tampa, Baltimore, and Houston.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are pieces that are there, and you've got to think that Correa and some of them are going to turn things around. And, you know, this could be a situation where they'll be really lucky kind of looking around. And there is a prototype for this. There is an example for this, which is last year's Cleveland Guardian, because the three teams at the top last year, Minnesota, Chicago, and Cleveland, were mediocre, barely above 500 for a giant chunk of the season last year. And then Cleveland just put the aft thrusters on in the final month, blew the doors off the dump. I think Minnesota, this is just my take from an outsider, I've never been to the state of Minnesota, I think right now they should take a good long look at who they have in the farm, who they have in their system. I'm not saying take a flyer on the DFA'd Eric Hosmer or Hicks or yeah. Fran Reyes.
Yep.
Yeah, there are all these players who you know, if you Hunter Dozier, you know, take a time machine back to 2019, that's a virtual all-star team you're putting together along with Madison Bumgarner, and now you can get them for nothing. That's not what I'm talking about with Minnesota. I'm talking about, take a look on their farm right now. Whoever your best hitting prospect is, whoever could give that team the proverbial little jumpstart spark, I think you have to bring him up right now, because the Twins have an opportunity to put about, you know, to sort of push a push Detroit away a little bit, push Cleveland away a little bit, and build like a 5-6 game lead that could give them a little bit of wiggle room as we enter in to the middle third of the season, which is going to start in just a week and a half.
Well, and I looked recently, and outside of Eduardo Rodriguez, the Tigers rotation had an ERA of, at that time, 5.89. So again, like, there's no understanding of, I have no understanding of how this is as close as it is, but the Twins are just, they're losing their edge and they're letting it unravel them. And it makes no sense.
And it's funny you use that phrase, losing their edge, because, and look at, I don't know the Twins farm system as well as other people. I don't know who's tearing it up right now, but I would bring someone up right now, because sometimes I've seen this happen, whether when they brought up Jacoby Ellsbury with the Red Sox that one year, like you see instances where that one play, I mean, Joe Panik did that a little, like he wasn't the great stud of that team, but he kind of put a little spark on that team, filled the second base hole, and things started falling together. You see that from time to time. I mean, the wildest example of that was Shane Spencer in 1998. He came out of nowhere to suddenly be this home run champion, but this is a moribund offense who have talented players on there, and maybe having someone new on the team to sort of give it a little bit of jolt in the second third of the season. This is a winnable division.
Easily.
It's an extraordinarily winnable division. 87, 88 wins gets this division.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously 90 wins it by 7 or 8 games.
Right.
So if I were Minnesota, I would take a look and say, not just who's our most talented player, but who's going to have that energy and give the team a boost, a little spark. And that's exactly what I would do if I were Minnesota right now.
Well, I think that guy's Edouard Julien, who's been up for just a couple days now. So the fact that he could be that guy is a factor. But with that said, it's tenuous because the Twins will have Jorge Polanco, Max Kepler, Royce Lewis coming back. And maybe Royce Lewis is that guy. 60-day IL, but he's about a week from that expiring. I don't know. I think he could be real exciting. He's probably going to play third base. We'll see.
You know, the bad news is they're barely above 500. The good news is, so far, that's good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And take advantage of that, because good is better than mediocre. Right now, they're mediocre, so get to good, because there may not be another good team there. Hey, Brandon Warren, thanks so much for jumping on board. And I'm going to do my second installment of the trivia question. And this is going to be Twins related for happy Twins memories. The Twins have participated in 3 World Series in their history. And in those 3, they've won every single home game in the World Series except for one. Who is the only pitcher in World Series history to win a road game in Minnesota?
I think I
Brandon, you're not answering this, because there's the first person who gives me the correct answer at Sully Baseball, who is the only pitcher to win a road game in the World Series in Minnesota, to beat the Twins on their home turf in Minnesota. You'll get the shout out in the next episode of Locked On MLB. Brandon Warren, tell people where they can listen to your show.
Yeah, Locked On Twins, wherever you get your podcasts, and on YouTube. Hang out with me. We have a lot of fun, and it's been a real blast the last couple months.
And you can follow us at Locked On MLB Pods on Twitter and on Instagram. I am your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. And please subscribe and check out the new digs. Look at our new look. Brand new look for Locked On MLB moving forward. Talking about how Aaron Judge did it again. The baby Dodgers are leading the way, and a mediocre AL Central can give hope with Brandon Warren of Locked On Twins. This has been Locked On MLB for the 24th day of May, 2023. I am your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.